Well, I am excited about today's message. And before I get into the message, just a couple of announcements. One is that starting this Wednesday, we are going to be hosting a prayer time on Wednesday evenings. Pastor Loa is going to be leading that. And so sometime over the course of the next day or two, she'll be sending you the Zoom invite for that. We invite you all and encourage you all to participate. And we're excited about that. And I think it's going to be awesome. It's time for us to pray and just the things that God's put on our heart to do as we press into that. That's part of it. So just want you to be aware of that. And then also a couple of things, upcoming events. One is in August. You remember the Supernatural Revelation Conference? That's going to be August 12th through 14th. We're leading worship for that, and I'm excited about that. Looking forward to doing that. And I'm certain by then we'll be able to gather back together. And so that'll be a blessing. Also, the Men's Advance is coming up this fall, September 17th through 19th. That's going to be down at the Ponderosa. And our theme is Call on the Name of the Lord. And so that's going to be a powerful time. Other exciting things happening, coming up, and we'll, be announcing those over the next couple of weeks. So just wanted y'all to be aware of that. So, one of the most significant things that Jesus spoke about, in fact, I think it was probably the most important thing that he spoke about, is the kingdom of God. In his Sermon on the Mount, you remember in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he said, "Seek first the kingdom." Amen. Seek first the kingdom of God. Make that a priority. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And there's over 119 verses in the Gospels alone that record teachings about kingdom. I think that was pretty awesome. It says the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. The kingdom is like leaven that a woman put in flour. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. The kingdom of God is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. The kingdom is like a dragnet gathering fish. The kingdom is like a man sowing seed. The kingdom is like a ruler that went away and entrusted his servants until his return. The kingdom is like a landowner and the laborers. We looked at that last week. There's just so many verses that about kingdom and the priority of kingdom. And Jesus himself, as I just mentioned, said, seek first the kingdom. And so we've been talking the last couple of weeks about building the kingdom, about the kingdom of God. And you remember Jesus, that parable where he goes and he visits or sees those laborers standing there idle. Part of what he desired was to have participation in the kingdom. But as you look through all of these stories, every example of the kingdom, there's some sort of principle of participation or action or fruitfulness, right? There's something that's happening. And as Jesus is talking about kingdom, I think it's important for us to understand and know what that is. And in Hebrews chapter 12, we've looked at that as well. It talks about this kingdom that we receive, amen, is an unshakable kingdom. Man, we have a firm foundation, the kingdom of God. And as we go about seeking his kingdom and building his kingdom, it's powerful. So I've entitled today's teaching, Redeem, Resist, and Resonate. Okay, redeem, resist, resonate. And we're going to be looking at those in terms of how they relate to the kingdom of God. But certainly the idea there is that we redeem the time. We resist the devil. We resonate Christ. Amen. So this first word, redeem, let's take a look at that. That word literally means to buy back, to recover, or to fulfill. Amen. It's a powerful word. I mean, there's such a message all throughout the Bible, really, right, of redemption. I mean, you and I are redeemed. There's something so powerful about that. We've been bought back. We've been recovered. And this purpose that we have as we're brought out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light, there's purpose there. There's destiny there. There's something, a reason that you and I are redeemed. Amen. And that's the heart of God towards all humanity. Essentially that he bought back mankind so that we could fulfill his original purpose for our lives. Amen. Well, the scripture I think of is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. And it says this: "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." Amen. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So don't be wise, or I'm sorry, don't be unwise, be wise, don't be a fool, right? Understand and know what the will of the Lord is so that you can walk circumspectly, redeem the time, make the most, buy back the time. But really that message of redemption is redeeming time, redeem your purpose, redeem relationships, redeem everything, right? That concept or that principle, that heart of redemption, the heart of God is in us, right? That there's something by the Spirit of God that we want to redeem as well. I was reading the story of Ruth earlier this week, and if I had to sum up her life, the whole story of the book of Ruth, it would be in the word redemption. Amen. It's just a powerful, powerful story of redemption. I want to read from Ruth chapter 4, verses 9 through 17. And it says Boaz, Boaz is the man that Ruth is going to marry, right? But it says Boaz said to the elders and to all the people, he says, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought, I have purchased," right? He's redeemed all that was Elimelech's, all that was Chilion's, all that was Mahlon's. And I purchased it all. I redeemed it from the hand of Naomi. That was Ruth's mother-in-law. And he says, "Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of one of Naomi's sons, I have acquired her as my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that his name may not be cut off among the brethren and from his position in the gate. You are witnesses this day." And all the people who were in the gate, all the elders said, "Yes, we are witnesses. And the Lord make this woman who is coming to your house like Rachel or like Leah. And by those two, the whole house of Israel was built. And may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem." Bethlehem Ephrathah, amen. That's where Jesus came from. "May your house be like that house of Perez that Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman." So there's something about, happy Mother's Day, by the way, but there's something about this that is significant, as Boaz has redeemed all of the property that belonged to Naomi. She had lost it because her husband had died, her sons had died. So Boaz buys it back. He also, essentially, he's redeeming Naomi, right? He's redeeming the family name. He's redeeming Ruth. And there's this blessing that comes that says, may this bloodline, essentially, he redeemed the bloodline, even. That is so powerful. And so this blessing is spoken over him. And so Boaz took Ruth, she became his wife, and he went to her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And all of the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a relative, and may his name be famous in Israel." Hallelujah. That's awesome. "And may he be to you a restorer of life." I love that. "May he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher in your old age. For your daughter-in-law that loves you is better than even seven sons." And Naomi took the child, laid him in her bosom, and she became his nurse. And the neighbor women gave that child a name. because they said there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed, and he is the father of Jesse, and Jesse is the father of David. Hallelujah. And David, amen, is the lineage of Christ our Savior. That is powerful. There's this story of redemption that God not only wanting to redeem us, but he redeems through Boaz, right? He redeems this land. He redeems this bloodline, and it perpetuates all throughout. Was his name famous? Yeah, his name is pretty famous, right? So this message of the kingdom, one of the messages is this message of redemption. The kingdom of God is about redemption. Amen. So let's look at the next word, resist. That word means to oppose or to stand against. And the scripture that I think of here is from Ephesians chapter 6. And starting in verse 10, it says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Amen. We're going to look at that in just a minute. There's stand against and there's resist. A couple of different words there that are powerful. But it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, or resist in the evil day, and having done all, then stand. This is a powerful scripture, and we're going to continue on here in just a moment with verse 14. But listen, as I've been sharing with you in recent weeks about building the kingdom and being part of an unshakable kingdom, and that this what's going on right now, what we see right now, isn't. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, right? Our provision doesn't come from any programs or from, it's not a political thing that's going on. I mean, there is all of that, but this is bigger than that. This is kingdom. We're talking kingdom, right? The enemy wants to rule the world, right? This is Satan's only domain, and he's fighting with everything that he can to establish his kingdom, his rule, his reign on this earth. Our call, part of our call as we build the kingdom, amen, is to resist. We resist the enemy. We resist what the devil wants to do, because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities, powers, rulers of this dark age that are exalted in heavenly places. So we put on this full armor of God that we will be able to resist, right? The kingdom is resist. Now, these two words, when it talks about stand against, that Greek word is histemipros, which means, I love this, listen, it means stand toward. It's like a directional word. Right? So put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand toward the wiles of the devil. Don't turn your back. Amen. Don't turn your back. You stand toward the wiles of the devil. You face the enemy. Amen. That's powerful. That's that kind of position. It's a directional type of word. The other word that talks about resisting or withstanding talks about where you're standing against something, right? You're resisting it. And so I think they're really similar type of words, but there's a difference there. One is like they're both actually kind of external and internal words, right? But there's one that's like a stance, right? And one is like an inward determination, if that makes sense. So it's kind of like this scripture saying, and what the kingdom of God is, I believe, is what is your stance? What is your position? You know, you're facing the enemy, but you're also resisting and standing against these spiritual hosts, right? And the things that the enemy stands for. That's powerful. So literally, it's directional as well as an inward type of thing. So it goes on here in verse 14, through 18 of Ephesians chapter 6. So it says, you know, put having done that, then stand therefore, having gird your waist with truth. Truth. And it is time for truth to be known. One of the things that I'm praying is that every hidden thing be brought to light, right? And I think that's powerful. God's been giving me some prophetic dreams just in recent days. And there's times where that happens for me where I have dreams that are prophetic, and it kind of goes in seasons, but it's powerful, right? And so I think the significance of what God is doing in the earth in building his kingdom is us standing and standing for truth, right? We gird our waist with truth. And if your standard of truth, this is kind of a little side note here, but you have to determine what is truth. I think back, I was reading some stuff about the 1920s, right? The Roaring Twenties. Pastor Raina had mentioned something about that several weeks ago, and I kind of started researching that. But one of the things that was taking place in the 20s was this this determining of truth within the body of Christ. And essentially what they concluded is, listen, you're free to believe whatever you want, right? You are free to believe whatever you want, but you can't believe certain things and call yourself a Christian. So you're gonna have to determine what is truth. The Word of God is truth. The Word of God is the truth that you and I are meant to stand on. So make that your truth today. But anyway, the scripture goes on to say, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Man, people need to hear the good news about Jesus. Hallelujah, that he loves them. And you and I are the ones that shod our feet with the preparation of that gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. These aren't, remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not a dart that you're going to see, but it's strategies of the enemy. It's lies. It's things of the enemy coming against you. And the shield of faith, you'll be able to extinguish those. Take the helmet of salvation. Take the sword of the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and with all supplication in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We are equipped, right, to win the war. I mean, the war has already been won. We fight from a place of victory. We're not fighting to win. I mean, the battle's done. I've read the end of the book, right? Jesus wins. And so that's powerful. And so you and I, as we resist, as we stand, as we war, we're fighting from a place of victory. Amen. I think that's important for us to understand. And this scripture is a great one to show us how we're equipped. And I would encourage you to study that out. But there's also this other aspect, I guess, of resisting that I read about in James chapter 4, verse 1 through 10. And it says this, where do wars and fights come from among you? Don't they come from your desires that you desire pleasure and it makes war in your members? You lust and you don't have, you murder, you covet, you can't obtain, you fight, you war, yet you don't have because you don't ask, or you ask and don't receive because you ask amiss. You're asking with wrong motives so that you can just spend it on your own pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Amen. There's two kingdoms, and you're in one or the other is what this scripture is talking about, right? And I think it's time, even in the church, where people are going to have to make some decisions, amen, about how they're going to fight and what it means to be part of the kingdom. It's not something to take lightly, amen. A friend of the world is an enemy of God. Don't you think, or I'm sorry, do you think that the scripture says in vain that the Holy Spirit who dwells in you yearns jealously? He gives more grace, though. Therefore, that's why he says God resists the proud. God stands against the proud. I don't want God to stand against me. I don't want to be in opposition to God. I don't want him resisting me. So he gives grace, though, to the humble, right? Therefore, submit to God. Resist, stand against the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. That is an awesome promise. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, weep. And I think of that in terms of repentance. We've talked about that, you know, in the early days of our nation, that the first thing that people did was repent. When something was going wrong, they repented. They understood this principle and the bigness of God, right? And that's kind of what James, I think, is even talking about. But he says, let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Man, that just resonates with me in terms of selfishness and some of the things that God's been dealing with me about, as I've mentioned to you in recent weeks. But the kingdom, you see this concept of humility and resistance and all that here as well. So the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is about resisting. But listen, it's not only about what you resist. It's not only about what you stand against, but it's also what you stand for, right? So what are you standing for and what are you standing against? That's what that resisting is. And that's what the kingdom of God is about, standing for and standing against. This third word, resonate. That word resonate literally means to resound or to amplify sound. And one of the things that I thought was pretty interesting about this is it's not an echo. It's a different word. So when you hear an echo, it's like it's a copy of the sound, if that kind of makes sense. That's the best way I can explain it based on what I read. But you know, an echo is kind of like a copy of the sound, and the sound eventually dies out, right? But resonate is like a different word. It's kind of like an echo because you're hearing the sound, but it's basically a resound. It's the same sound being reproduced or the same sound being duplicated. It's not a copy. It is the actual sound. It's a resonating, right? And you and I and the kingdom, you and I are meant to resonate Christ. We resound him. We amplify him, right? That's powerful. It kind of blew my mind. But one of the things that that we're supposed to resonate is the ministry of reconciliation. And I kind of tie that back in because it fits also with that message of redemption. What is it we're resonating? What is your life resonating in terms of what this message of redemption, or in terms of what you're resisting, what you're standing for, what you're standing against, that our lives resonate that. It's seen, right? It has impact, it has effect. And one of those things is that ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 through 19 says this: the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Seek first his kingdom. Amen. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, this was Paul writing this, even though we have known him according to the flesh, yet now we know him that way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And he has given to us that ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, but he has committed to us this word of reconciliation, this ministry of reconciliation. In other words, what it was that God did through Christ in redeeming and reconciling the world to him, that's what we resonate. That's the same ministry that we have. It's that very ministry of reconciliation. We're not living for ourselves. It's about his kingdom. Amen. And about carrying that message and putting his kingdom first. Pastor Raina shared a message talking about tying up loose ends. I love that title, but she was talking about finishing things, right? Reconcile. If something needs reconciled, reconcile it. I don't want to get off on a teaching of reconciliation. It's actually like an accounting term, right? You reconcile your checkbook, all that. But listen, tie up loose ends. If there are any loose ends in your life, if there's anything that you've started and haven't finished, if there's any thing that needs reconciled, any relationship, anything like that, listen, reconcile those things. Tie up those loose ends. Amen? Because our lives are meant to resonate Christ. They're supposed to sound like something, right? One of the words, so really our lives are supposed to sound like Christ. In other words, that's kind of what that resonating is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, Paul writes, even though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but I don't have love, I have become like a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Listen, I love to play the drums, right? But you can't just bang on the cymbal all the time, right? There has to be more than that. I mean, it gets annoying if it's just, if I'm just clanging on the cymbal, it's just like, come on, right? It's got to be more than that. So our lives without love just become this clanging cymbal, a sounding brass. It's not really the fullness of what we're supposed to sound like. Our lives are supposed to resonate his love. Jesus said shortly before he told us to seek first his kingdom in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, he's talking about prayer. And he says, don't use vain repetitions as the heathens do, because they think that they'll be heard for many words, right? It's not even a prayer of communion with God. It just becomes this noise. It just becomes words. It just becomes this just religious, right? And one of the things that I believe God is doing and has been doing in the earth is breaking that spirit of religion, because it's not about religion. And there's a lot of people that need to really be set free and come back to this place of the true heart of the gospel, to be a follower of Christ in a real way. Our lives are meant to be so much more than just this noise. There's a line from a POD song. I love what it says. It says, they're a dime a dozen and they can't understand. Don't even know why they're all fussing. They're talking loud, but they're really saying nothing. It sounds a lot better when they sing it, but it's cool. But it's just like, you know what? They talk loud, but they're not saying anything. It's just noise. That's kind of what it's talking about. So, we're meant to resonate Christ. Our lives are supposed to sound like him and look like him. Kind of another example of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 7 through 9, it says, even things without life, whether a flute or a harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will it be known what is piped or played? Or the trumpet, if it makes an uncertain sound, who then will prepare for battle? What I'm getting at out of that is be clear about what your life sounds like, right? It get the muddledness out. You know, any unclear tones, anything that's not like God, let him purify that and get that out. You know, we were looking in recent weeks talking about God being a consuming fire. Listen, that consuming fire burns up and consumes anything that's not like him. Amen. So as we seek first his kingdom and as he resonates in us, all this unimportant stuff, everything that can be shaken will be shaken, right? So that the only thing that remains is what cannot be shaken. The love of God cannot be shaken. The kingdom of God cannot be shaken. The truth of God's word cannot be shaken. Amen. It's a firm foundation for us to stand on. And that's what our lives, amen, are meant to sound like and look like. So redeem, resist, resonate, redeem the time, redeem your purpose, redeem everything, redeem, 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 resist, right? Resist the enemy, resist and stand for truth, stand against, you know, or stand for the things of God, stand for the kingdom of God and stand against the kingdom of the enemy. Resist, that's a kingdom message, and resonate. Let your life be clear what it sounds like. Amen. So that's the message that I have for you today. Let's take a moment and pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you've redeemed us. Hallelujah. Thank you that you have equipped us to resist. And thank you, Lord, that you make it possible by your grace that we resonate you, that we sound like you in this world. And so, Father, I just pray for each and every one who is watching, and for those that are listening in. I just pray, Father, that you speak this to them, that you stir this message inside of them and help each and every one of us to remember or to even to realize maybe for the first time the importance of your kingdom, that your kingdom is first, that we seek first your kingdom. Hallelujah. And we just thank you for that. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Praise God. Well, I pray that blessed you. Amen. And